Trend number 6, obsessive branding disorder. On an average day, every American is exposed to between 3,000 and 5,000 ads in their various forms. Collectively, companies directly pay for some $300 billion in branding each year. Has it gotten out of hand? There are branded NASCAR M&Ms, Procter & Gamble portable toilets, branded beach sand, branded golf holes, and even branded athletic stadiums. Hundreds of new products become available every day of the year. Cheap merchandise from abroad has flooded the market. Companies desperate to bolster sales have resorted to using branding as a substitute for old-fashioned competitive responses, like innovation, good quality control, and incremental improvements in their products. Similarly, the complete fragmentation of the advertising market due to the internet and mobile communication devices have left that industry at a loss for what to do. And branding seems to be the panacea of the moment, a fad that could do more harm than good. Another factor behind this trend is the use of the new science of human behavior. According to the new book Obsessive Branding Disorder by Lucas Conley, this understanding of how the brain works and how human biases work is encouraging marketers to manipulate consumers as never before. Writing in Fast Company, Conley refers to branding as the self-help industry of corporate America. He argues that branding, led by an army of self-styled experts, has become an obsession among business executives to the point that it has permeated every element of life and spread out to include such far-flung outposts as the mental health field. The fundamental trouble with the branding craze as it has evolved is its tendency to take our attention away from what is important to the customer and place it squarely on what is not. In the process, it leads companies and customers alike away from innovation and the efficient delivery of high-quality products and services and into a vague realm of entertainment that ultimately delivers little or nothing of value. Consider that during the now infamous Super Bowl of January 30, 2000, companies lined up to spend an average of $4.2 million a minute for TV time, totaling $250 million in all, to deliver their high-impact messages in the space between touchdowns. The spots were generally 30 seconds long, of which 5 seconds, on average, delivered the actual sales message. The company's name appeared on screen for just 2 of those seconds. The rest was entertaining but had no connection to the product. In fact, in surveys afterward, almost no one could remember which ad went with which product, according to Bill Schley, author of Why Johnny Can't Brand. Not long after that Super Bowl game, the dot-com crash occurred, and untold billions more were lost. Brand building, or branding as it's called, got a bad name. But marketers missed the point that what had been going on under the name of branding was not really branding at all. It was silly entertainment that was merely entertaining. Genuine branding involves sending a powerful message, offering a clear value proposition that has understandable features to distinguish it from other offerings and to set it apart as obviously desirable. As Schley puts it, at the heart of real branding is the selling idea. Put the big idea first and the entertainment second, or there is no brand impact. He likens most of today's advertising to a new sports car delivered without an engine. In other words, the product must be the star of the branding show. Both Schley and Conley argue that all too many businesses today have their priorities backwards. They want to create a brand that will somehow magically sell whatever products they plaster the brand name upon. But that doesn't work. The products themselves are what create the brand. Sony did not come up with the brand idea of Sony and then attach the Walkman to it as an afterthought. In the early 1980s, when everyone suddenly found that they really desired this unique product, Sony became synonymous with portable music. The converse is also true. In subsequent years, Apple, not Sony, came up with the category-killing innovation, the iPod. And the Sony brand cannot be fixed with more advertising alone. Proof that the present branding mania isn't working comes from Madison Avenue itself. According to the U.S. Labor Department, advertising and marketing firms were losing about 18,000 employees a year to the current recession. This led to a 14% reduction in the agency workforce since 2000. Spencer Stewart, an executive search firm, reports that chief marketing officers, or CMOs, at the world's top 100 companies now have an average tenure of less than 2 years. Another important piece of evidence that the branding craze is a colossal waste of money comes from firms that do no overt branding. Chelsea Milling Company makes Jiffy brand muffin mix. The appearance of the boxes is exactly the same as it was half a century ago. With 55% market share, Jiffy is the 800-pound gorilla of the muffin mix category. Betty Crocker and Pillsbury can't touch Jiffy despite of all the brand mania these giants can muster. According to Data Smog, the 1997 book by journalist David Schenck, in 1971, Americans saw a mere 560 ad messages per day. The tenfold increase in a generation makes 65% of Americans feel inundated with ads. Consumers have tuned out and stopped paying attention, which has led to mass brand hysteria in marketing departments around the globe. The result is that too many companies have lost their primary focus on innovation and quality. In the light of this trend, we offer the following three forecasts for your consideration. First, as the economic recovery takes hold, it will inspire forward-thinking marketers to redefine what a truly great brand means. There will be broad opportunities for those who are willing to take heed. With people holding on to their pocketbooks more tightly than in the past decade, they are more keenly attuned than ever to what a genuine value proposition looks like. Companies that attempt to wrench revenues free from reluctant consumers by wooing them with flashy entertainment instead of clear value and quality will become increasingly marginalized. Second, the character of the American consumer is changing, and the definition of branding must be changed as well. Consumer spending has accounted for about 72% of the U.S. GDP in recent years. During the recovery, it is expected to rebound and stabilize at around 65% of GDP, the level that was normal in the 80s and before. This amounts to a redefinition of the American consumer market and of what the consumer wants. Hungry for quality, this newly redefined consumer market is hungry for steak, not sizzle. Companies that grasp this idea will win big. And third, marketers and advertising agencies that adapt to these new consumer realities will have a huge competitive advantage. Tomorrow's consumers will want a very clear selling message. Whether that message comes with entertainment will be irrelevant. These new consumers are increasingly educated through the internet and other information technology. They know how to find out about quality and value, and they won't be fooled. The new consumer will seek quality, not hype. Companies that develop a laser-like focus on innovation and quality will do well. And marketing agencies that can convey that promise of quality and value in a precise, powerful message will thrive as companies clamor to use their services.